piece, it's from the Nesivos Shalom, from the Sefer Nesivos Shalom. I'm sure some of us, I'm sure many of us have had a chance to learn the Sefer before. Nesivos Shalom was the Slonim Rebbe, passed away about 20 years ago now. And he has these two beautiful volumes where he speaks about Inyanim of Avodas Hashem. Inyanim of Avodas Hashem. One of the volumes is really dedicated to the holidays. And the other volume is dedicated to sections like Yesodei HaTorah, Taros HaMidos, Tshuva, Avodas Hashem, Chasidus. And he has a section here on the topic of Kedusha. You can see at the top of the page. It says, Nesivei Taros HaMidos, Pathways to the Purification of One's Character, Kedoshim Tiyu, to live a life of holiness. And I want to spend a little bit of time learning this piece because we're in the days of Shovavim. By a show of hands, who here has heard of Shovavim? Who knows what I'm talking about when I mention Shovavim? Okay, good. So you're living in the era of people who know about Shovavim. What does the word Shovavim actually mean? So there's a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah on the third parak, where Yirmiyahu Anavi says, Shuvu banim Shovavim. Shuvu banim Shovavim means Shuvu du tshuva banim Shovavim. What does the word Shovavim mean? Anyone know? What does the word actually mean? What is the word? What's a Shovev? Anyone? Feel free. Unmute. Call out, go for it, if you know what it is. What's a shovev?
Wayward.
Okay, wayward, mischievous, right, a little bit wild, a little bit lost. Shuvu banim shovavim, the Navi Yirmiyah says in Perek Gimel, come back to me. Hashem says, come back. Come back, banim shovavim. Now, it's interesting. Banim is a term of endearment, right? A child. The love of a parent to a child is unconditional. Shovavim means a kid who's like totally lost himself. He's off the derech. He like can't. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He's a little reckless. He's mischievous. So that the combination of banim shovavim, that term, come back, banim shovavim, is Hashem's way of saying, even when you're a big troublemaker, Hashem says to us, I still love you and I still want you to come back. Now, the reason that we call these weeks shovavim is because shovavim is an acronym. Shovim, again, for those who know this, and I apologize for those who this is obvious to, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page to get started. Shovim stands for Shemos Va'era Bo Bishalach Yisro Mishpatim. 6 weeks, these parshios that we're reading now, that describe the Jewish people going into Mitzrayim, really falling apart to the point of near destruction, and then Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, becoming the Jewish people, receiving the Torah, standing at Har Sinai. So we go sort of from like the lowest point to the highest point in our collective history during these weeks. It's the depths of Gullis, the root of Gullis, descending into the exile of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a very, very unholy and difficult experience for the Jewish people, for our bodies and for our souls. And then being able to come out of that place and to be able to lift ourselves up. Now, Shovavim, these weeks, the Arizal is really the one who revealed to us that they're very special weeks. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, spoke about it. The Shlach HaKadosh, many great tzaddikim started to reveal it. But certainly in recent times, it's become more well known. I mean, we're not Mekubalim here. Right? We learned some Chasidus in our Shir, but we're not Kabbalists. So why are we entering into the space of the Arizal to talk about Shovavim? And the answer is because through the tzaddikim of Chassidus, it became more accessible to us. Now, once upon a time, Shovim was a time period where maybe people did a lot of fasting, and there are still people who do a lot of fasting during these days. But the goal of Shovim, as Klal Yisrael kind of goes through that gullus experience in Mitzrayim and comes out of Mitzrayim, the goal of these days is to be able to become Hashem's people once again. To stop being the mischievous children that we sometimes are. And obviously, as we'll see, we're talking specifically in Inyanei Kedusha. Kedusha doesn't only mean sexually moral behavior, but it's Kedusha is really an overarching principle of Torah. Happens to be these days are days where there's a focus on Kedusha in terms of Kedusha Sabris and Inyanim of Shmira Seinayim. That certainly is a focus, but it's not the only focus. It's not the goal. We try to lift ourselves up and to live a little bit above a gullis dikka existence, to try to be Jews that are worthy of coming back to our Sinai, so to speak, and getting the Torah again. Okay, so let's learn inside. The Slonim Rebbe says it much better than anything that I can say to introduce it. Okay, let's jump right in. And again, you know, we have 6 pages here. It'll take us a bunch of days to work through it, but I think it'll give us a perspective on really one of the overarching principles of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is to live a life of Kedusha. To live a life of Kedusha. It's not just about stuffing another blot of Gemara into your head, right? Or it's not just being able to rattle off, you know, Torah ideas, but it's being able to transform our bodies and souls to be able that someone should look at us and to say, ah, that person is radiating holiness. And holiness, by the way, doesn't have to be some 80-year-old Rebbe in Tzfat with a long white beard, you know, who learns Torah Yom V'Layla and fasts, you know, throughout the week and only eats on Shabbos or something crazy like that. Kedusha means a person who is striving for... Let me just say one more thing by way of introduction. We talk about Kedusha, it means connections. It means being properly connected to Hashem. When we talk about Pagam HaBris, right, when we talk about, you know, Mitzrayim being called Ervas HaAretz, Mitzrayim being a place of immorality, a place where Yosef HaTzadik became a tzadik by not giving in to a very lowly temptation of Eshes Potiphar, right, it's not just about, you know, not doing things which are immoral or you know, are against the sexual purity that a Jew is supposed to live his life with. It's about being connected in a holy way. When you're connected in proper ways, so then you don't seek cheap connections. You don't look to connect in unholy ways. And that's really what these days are about. Kedusha is about Dveikus Bahashem. And that's an overarching principle of Torah. It's not just about, you know, guardyoureyes.com or whatever. It's about being connected to Hashem in all that we do. Okay? So let's learn inside. Again, that happens to be the psicha, this introduction to the first mimer, is a little bit poetic. The Nisivos Shalom in general is written in a very accessible way. Again, it's one of the easier Sefer Chassidus. But the introduction is a little bit poetic. And again, like I encourage the guys all the time, I'm encouraging all of you, take notes, write down the words you don't know. It happens to be the piece we're about to learn is actually the first bit of Chassidus I think I was exposed to, Shana Aleph, in Eretz Yisrael. And I didn't learn a lot of Chassidus at all. And I didn't have Rebbeim who learned a lot of Chassidus at all. There was one Rebbe who I remember one time introduced me to this Sefer, and we happened to have been learning a little bit of this piece. And he's not such a Chassidus guy, this Rebbe. It just happens to stick out. I literally have here in the back my Nesiva Shalom, some of my own handwritten notes from Shana Aleph, because I couldn't understand the Sefer at all. I had no idea. I was writing down what every word meant. And that's the only way to get there. So if you want to be able to learn Tzvarim on your own one day, again, I know some people have better skills in terms of being able to learn Tzvarim on their own, and others have already expressed that it's a big challenge for them. So the only way to get there is to look inside, to pay attention, to practice the words, and over time, Amir Tzashem, you'll be able to crack the code yourself. Okay, but let's learn together. Ha'inyan ha'nisgav shel kedusha. This lofty inyan, this lofty matter called kedusha. Tofes mako merkazi b'tzivoy ha'Torah. It takes up a mako merkazi. It takes up a central place in the commandments of the Torah. Kedusha is not the icing on the cake. Kedusha is one of the centerpieces of what it means to be a Jew and to live an inspired Jewish life. Umuzkar pa'amim rabos b'Torah ha'kedosha. And it's mentioned many times in the Torah ha'kedosha. Kamo, for example, psukim that will sound familiar to us. Kedoshim tiyu. Of course, the centerpiece, Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim tiyu. Chava, how would you translate Kedoshim tiyu? Is that a commandment? You should be holy. Is that a promise? Hashem saying you will be holy. Is it a bracha? I give you a bracha, you should be holy. And the answer is, it's all of those things. It's something we have to work on. It's something that Hashem says, I'm telling you that you are holy. You can be holy, you will be holy. You need to work on being holy. It's all of those things combined. Another pasuk, v'yiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. V'yiskadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. Or another pasuk, v'yisem li kedoshim ki kadosh ani. You should be holy, Hashem says, because I'm holy. Uva'od harbe makomos, and there are many, many such psukim in the Torah. Ukehachana le, anyone know what this abbreviation is? Ukehachana, as a hachana, as a preparation, le kabbalas haTorah, to receive the Torah. Hayedvar Hashem biyudo shal am Yisrael, the mission statement of Klal Yisrael, the direction Hashem pointed us in a direction to get to Har Sinai. Hashem directed us by saying, "Va'atem tiyu li mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh." I want you to be a mamleches kohanim, which really means that every one of us is a kohen. You think like a kohen gadol. There's one person who gets to be the kohen gadol. There's one shevet that gets to be the kohanim and the levim. But in truth, Klal Yisrael is a mamleches kohanim. We're a kingdom of kohanim, all of us. V'goy kadosh, and we're a holy people. That's who we are. Perush, that is to say, goy shemahuso kedusha. Chaver, if you have it printed out, underline those three words. Goy shemahuso kedusha. We're a nation, a people, whose mahus, our essence, shemahuso kedusha, our very essence is holiness. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's the mission statement of a Jew. In three words. Goy shemahuso kedusha. A nation whose mahus, whose essence is holiness. V'hainu she'eino maspik. It's not sufficient. She'ekaimu es ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos. It's not enough to just have a checklist on your wall or in your wallet that says, did I wear tefillin today? Check, I wore tefillin today. Did I buy kosher food? Yes, I bought kosher food. Do I keep the Sabbath? Check, I keep the Sabbath. You know? Do I wear tefillin and tzitzis and shake a lulav and blow a shofar? Check, 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 check. It's all great. And those are all points of connection. But it all has to fit into this framework called what? Kedoshim Tiyu. To live a life of holiness. That has to be something that we're not afraid to talk about. Again, sometimes this topic is a little uncomfortable because obviously a big part of it, again, is talking about the sexual morality of the Jewish people. And we speak about that with great sensitivity. And sometimes when you talk about these things too much, it ends up having a negative effect. You end up thinking about it too much. And sometimes it's better not to obsess over it. Right? But it's important also when we live in a world where there's just such, you know, so much exposure and the over-sexualization of everything in our world. Which again, is just one aspect. I keep coming back to that. It's just one aspect of Kedusha. Right? It's important for us to say we want to live different. We want to live a little bit above the world. I don't want to be a person who gives into every taiva. Even though taiva is not a bad thing, as we'll see. Taiva is not a bad thing. Desire is a very good thing. It's just a question of how do I channel my desire? What do I desire? What do I get my excitement from? What gives me pleasure in this world? Do I get pleasure from being a Jew? Do I get pleasure from doing mitzvos? Do I get pleasure from learning Torah? If I'm not going to know how to do that, I'm going to end up turning to all sorts of unholy pleasures. And that could be very, very self-destructive. Okay? Chaver, any questions or comments? I can't see everyone, so if you have a question or comment, you could just, you know, interrupt or use there's a little hand-raising signal at the bottom of the screen in Zoom. Yeah, Reb Leo, let's hear.
No, I just wanted to ask, because I heard this opinion at a Shabbos table some time ago, that the world that we live in now might actually be more, like, sinful than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah,
so I'm just wondering your take on that.
Yeah, it's an interesting, yeah. People certainly say that sometimes, you know, like, off the cuff, not necessarily saying it as, like, as a Torah truth, but just, like, it's a feeling, you know? There's, like, a feeling that, yeah, maybe society has become more immoral today than Sodom and Gomorrah or Mitzrayim or, you know, we're worse than Amalek. You know, you could say all sorts of expressions. The truth is you have sources in Sefer Chassidus that talk about this, right? A number of years ago, every year, as I was telling you yesterday, Reb Leo, that on Thursday we learn a Parsha Sefer. So a couple of years ago, our Parsha Sefer was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So there's a famous Or HaChaim. Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes at the beginning of Parsha Shemos that the Jews in Mitzrayim fell to the 49th level of Tumah. I've heard such an idea. There are 50 levels of impurity. We fell to level 49. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says that before Mashiach comes, we're actually going to descend into level 50. We're going to actually hit a lower place. We're going to hit a lower place. I once heard a great tzaddik say, he said it somewhat jokingly, but somewhat very seriously, on a Shushan Purim many years ago. He said that the 50 states of America might become that Shar Nun, that 50th level of Tuma. And you could say that's just a sharp line, but you could also say there's a tremendous truth that unfortunately we're seeing unfold before our eyes today. You know, so the question that Rechaim HaKadosh says, but I thought the Jews can't fall to level 50. I thought if you go to level 50, then you fall to such a low place you can't get out of there. It's a Tuma that a person can't escape from. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, the difference between us and the Jews in Mitzrayim is that we have the Torah. Without the Torah, you can't survive level 50. When you have the Torah, meaning after Kabbalah Satorah, even if you fall to level 50, which, again, prior to receiving the Torah is a point of no return, once you have the Torah, we can survive. We can survive. There was a tzaddik who was once visited by his daughter. I believe it was the Divrei Chaim of Sons. His daughter came to visit him, and she was complaining to her father. He was in Poland. She was living in Russia. She came with her husband, and she came to spend time with her father. And she said to her father, she said, you know, the government is so oppressive, religiously oppressive in Russia, that it's worse than Mitzrayim. That's what she said. That was her expression. It's worse than Mitzrayim, worse than life in Egypt. And the Divrei Chaim cut her off and he said, you can't say that. It's not true. He said, why? Because we have something they didn't have in Mitzrayim. We have the Torah. When we have the Torah, it's a different weapon that we can use to fight against unholiness. So is there a certain truth that we're going to fall to a level 50? Yeah. There's a tzaddik, the Rebbe of Kamarna, one of the branches of Hasidus, Kamarna. Yehuda and I were talking about Kamarna last night. So one of the Rebbes of Kamarna also said, he said, what is this level 50 that we didn't fall into in Mitzrayim? And he says it's a world of complete kfira and apikorsis. It's an utter rejection of God, which again we're seeing unfolding in our world today. Not to say that there weren't, you know, movements and periods of world history where there was a rejection of God. Right? But, you know, the simple notion of in God we trust, which is written on the dollar bill, which you might have in your back pocket, is not so easily accepted by the masses today. Right? So that's what we call Shar Nun. That's what we call level 50. You know, we'll definitely talk about it more as we get closer to Purim, because it has a lot to do with the Purim story. Haman's gallows, which were 50 amos high, and tried to hang Mordechai, who was in many ways a reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a lot of deep Torah, and that was the world of Amalek. So there's a lot to, in answer to your question, I guess, you know, could it be that we're worse today than Sodom and Amor? The answer is yes. The answer is that it's not crazy to say such a thing. Even though, you know, there's always a feeling, whatever you're living through, it's the worst time in history. You know, it's hard to compare ourselves to other generations. We don't know. But I think they're definitely, from a Torah perspective, I think there's definitely there's truth to that statement. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yehuda, let's hear. What would you like to say?
I just wanted to make two quick points. The first one is about what Rebbe was just talking about, the Shar Nun.
Yeah.
And it obviously goes in both directions. Like, you could fall to the 50th level in one direction, you could rise to the 50th level in the other direction.
Right.
And Reb Joey very often talks about how Moshe Rabbeinu, he only reached the 49th level. It was 50 chaser achas, and we know a lot of things in Yiddishkeit are chaser achas, like with Malchus and a lot of other things. And so what the Sfarim say is that the fact that Moshe is the person who's used as the archetype of like how high you can get, and the fact that it was chaser achas shows that it's not something that like the person came short, because we know Moshe was perfect. It was about where humans are able to go. And then they go even further and they say that Chaser Achas actually is the 50th level. It's the fact that you realize once you get there that you can't understand. Right. And so Rebbe was saying that the 50th level is this Kfira that you think you can understand.
Right.
And I'm a physics major, everyone, before I say this, but like the world thinks that they have this hubris to think that they can understand everything, that they could like look into everything and figure it out. And even if they can't figure it out, they believe that they're going to be able to figure it out soon. They find the electron and they find that it's not the smallest thing. And then they keep looking and there's no end to it. Rabbi Nachman says, Ein machshava tfisa beklal, but that's the Shar Nun, I think, the hubris that you can grasp. Right. And the other thing, is I heard a Shir series that spoke about Kedusha versus Chol, and it talks about the fact that Chol means hollow, like a Chalil is something that's hollowed out, and a Chalal is a dead body, means it is missing its neshama. And Kedusha, which is the opposite of Chol, is when something is completely like saturated with its core content. Beautiful. And so when the Torah tells us V'yisim Kedoshim, and when the Ramban says Kadosh Atmecha B'Mutralach, and then here Rebbe told us to underline Goyishim Huso Kedusha. It's telling us that what Rebbe said, it's not about Vagisabo necessarily, and it's not about fasting all day. It's about someone being able to look at you and see that each thing that you do is completely suffused with the fact that you are a Jew who like believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tries to live his life that way.
Beautiful. Full. I love that. Right, so if chol is this empty space, is this void in my life, kedusha means filling my life with meaningful substance. Beautiful, beautiful. That's such an important yesod. Because when I feel that my life is full with quality stuff, so then I don't need to turn to cheap pleasures. And I don't need to connect to unholy things. Such a true point. Very, very good. Okay, Chava, let's go a little bit further. Umarumas b'maimer chazal, and everything that we're describing here, everything the Slonim Rebbe says I want to share with you, is hinted to in the statement of our sages in Toras Kohanim. That's what this abbreviation stands for. Toras Kohanim is the Medrash on Vayikra, at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Parsha zu nemra bahakel mipnei sherov gufe Torah tluyin ba. Kedoshim to you, that expression, that phrase, Kedoshim to you was said, Bahakel, was said when the Jewish people were gathered together. Every single Jew was present. So in case you think Kedusha is like this madrega for tzaddikim, it's for this small percentage of Klal Yisrael. No. The Medrash makes it very clear, Hashem said Kedoshim to you to every single member of Klal Yisrael. You know why? Because Rov Gufe HaTorah Tluyin Ba. Because most of the principles of Torah are dependent upon it. Really? Is that true? Everything depends on Kedusha? V'niskashu ha-mefarshim, the mefarshim ask, Shelo matzinu rov gufei Torah b'parsha zu. We don't find, in fact, even though Parshas Kedoshim has a lot of mitzvos, but we don't find that the overwhelming majority of the principles of Torah are dependent on Kedoshim tiyu, do we? And the answer is, yes we do. V'yesh lomar, perhaps we can explain. Shemarumas b'zeh al mitzvos Kedoshim tiyu atzma. It's not saying that Parshas Kedoshim is an all-encompassing Parsha, right? Even though, again, it has many mitzvos. It doesn't have the majority of mitzvos, but it has many mitzvos. That is true. But the very words, forget all the other mitzvos in Parshas Kedoshim. Those two words, Kedoshim Tiyu, those two words themselves, this mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu Atzma itself, Rov Gufei Torah Tluyin Ba. The success of your life as a Jew is going to have a lot to do with your Kedusha. Is going to have a lot to do with the focus in your life of being a person of Kedusha. Ki lefi erech hiskadshu social Yehudi, lefi erech, in accordance with the erech, the value, to whatever degree you put importance upon living a life of Kedusha, kein dargaso barov gufei Torah. That's how far you're going to reach in your life of Torah and mitzvos. A person who can't get inyane Kedusha under control and is not working on living a life of Kedusha is going to struggle to feel like a Jew, to feel like a wholesome Jew, like Yehuda was describing, a Jew who's complete in his Yiddishkeit. Ukamarumas inyan zeba chalom Yaakov. Now look what he writes here, it's beautiful. This idea is hinted to in the dream of Yaakov Avinu. V'hine sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma. V'hine malachei elokim olim v'yardim bo. Chever, you know this dream. Yaakov is a dream of a ladder. The ladder has its feet on the ground, reaching to the heights of, and angels are going up and down the ladder. Chevra, what is this dream? What is this dream hinting to? Isa b'Zohar, the Holy Zohar tells us, Shesulam merames almidas yesod. The sulam, the ladder, connecting heaven and earth, refers to the midah of yesod. Now, again, I'm just meeting some of you for the first time, so I don't know what you know or what you don't know. But in Chassidus and Kabbalah, we talk about the 10 Sviros. And again, I apologize for those who know this too well already. We talk about 10 Sviros. 10 Sviros means the 10 ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. 10 emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about 3 intellectual attributes of God and 7 emotional attributes of God. Right? Chabad, or Keser Chachma Bina, and then the 7 lower Sviros, which correspond to the 7 Ushpizin and correspond to the 7 weeks of Sfiras HaOmer. Right? You may recognize the names, or you may not. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Okay, they each also correspond to different body parts, different focal points in the life of a Jew. Right? Chesed corresponds to your right arm, Gevura is your left arm, Tiferes is your body, Netzach and Hod are your legs. Yesod, and I know I'm sharing a lot at once, again, for those who are learning this ideas for the first time, Yesod corresponds to the Bris Milah. Yesod means foundation. The word literally means foundation. Yesod, the Bris Milah, is what we use to connect Right? When a husband and wife are able to connect and bring a child into this world to continue the reality of life, of existence, right? So that connection, it comes about through Yesod. Yesod is able to bring down an idea and to form something new, to form connections. That's what Yesod corresponds to. Of course, in the Torah personalities, which Torah personality is the person of Yesod? It's Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik is the one who corresponds to Yesod because Yosef had an opportunity to connect in an unholy way with Eishes Potiphar, and he didn't. And he guarded himself. He became a tzaddik. Yosef HaTzadik becomes, in so many ways, the essence of what these weeks are about, Shovavim. Right? To remain connected, even when I'm in an environment that's not so easy to remain connected. That was Yosef in Mitzrayim. He was surrounded by unholiness, and yet he maintained his Kedusha. He kept his connection to Yaakov Avinu, who was far away both in time and space. He knew who he was, and he knew where he wanted to be. That's why, by the way, what's the gematria of the word Shovavim? Who knows the gematria of the word Shovavim? No, Ashi, what's the gematria of Shovavim? Tell us.
Yeah, it's Rabbi Nachman. I just need to get the number.
The number is 360. So for the Breslovers amongst us, Rabbi Nachman is gematria Shovavim, because Rabbi Nachman also is very much connected to this Indian. But the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that Yosef plus Tzadik is gematria Shovavim. Yosef is, the number is 360. Shovavim is gematria 360. The numerical value of Shovavim is 360. Yosef is 156. Tzadik is 204. So Yosef plus Tzadik is gematria Shovavim. Because Yosef at Tzadik is again this Indian of Shovavim. It's this ability to what? It's this ability to rise above the culture around you. That's what Yosef was in Mitzrayim. It wasn't just that one moment of not sleeping with Eishes Potiphar. But it was being able to rise above the Tumah of this world and to be properly connected. So Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov was called an Ishtam, a wholesome person. Yaakov Avinu, who the Rashi tells us was very careful not to waste his seed, who the first drop of seed to ever leave his body impregnated his wife Leah and brought a Reuven into this world. Yaakov Avinu, who is a very holy and very wholesome person, very much connected to Torah. Yaakov has a dream. In his dream he sees a ladder. That ladder, the Zohar says, represents Yesod, a ladder connecting heaven and earth. The same way that, again, a person has the ability to use his body in a holy way to connect him to Hashem, not to bring him far from Hashem. V'hainu sheheru lo kimida zo hi mutzeves artza. In other words, by showing him that the ladder was standing on the ground, it was a way of saying that this mida, that this trait, that this body part, right, Kedushas Habris, and Kedusha in general, is mutzav artza, is resting on the ground. In other words, it's immersed in what? In physicality, in the greatest sense. There's no body part of a human body that is used in such a physical way as the Bris Milah. It's shayechas le'inyonim ha'artziyim. It is very, very much connected to physical pleasure, to physicality. Aval rosho magia hashamayimah. But it reaches the heights of heavens. It has the ability to also perform the first mitzvah of the Torah, which is puravu, to strive to bring children into this world, to be able to have a continuity of Torah and mitzvos, right? To populate the world, right? To bring down a neshama from tachas kisei hakavod. So we're talking about something which on the one hand could bring a person to the lowest, lowest, most unholy behaviors, and at the same time, it can be used in such a holy and pure and special and intimate way. If a person is ma'aleh, if a person lifts up this midah to its shoresh, to its root, kiratzon Hashem, as Hashem wants it to be, azai magia hashamayma, then chaver, then it can reach the heights of heaven. It can mamash reach the highest heights. Umalache elokim. And who are these angels that Yaakov sees in his dream going up and going down? You know who those angels are? Chever, that's us. We can be angelic people. We can be holy people. Mamlechas Kohanim v'goy kadosh. We could be those holy people. We could rise to the highest heights. Or if we misuse this midah, this koach, this energy, if we connect to unholy things, so we can destroy ourselves. We could descend to the lowest depths. Ki kol ha'alios. V'chein chas v'sholom kol ha'yeridos, all of our ups and all of our downs. And it's so true. Sometimes a person becomes involved with all sorts of impure things and they feel so down from it. It's not just that they're spiritually down. They feel emotionally down. And when a person says, you know, I'm able to connect myself, I'm learning well, and I'm davening well, and I'm being sensitive to Inyanei Kedusha, a person feels like they're soaring in the heavens. They feel like they can fly, that they can reach unbelievable heights. So much of our success, our ups and downs, are dependent upon this Tara and this Kedusha. Ukamarum is the Pasuk. We conclude the first paragraph. As is hinted to in the Pasuk, in Devarim Perak Lamed, Mi Yale Lanu Hashamaima. The Pasuk says, who can take us to the heights of heavens? Look at the words. Mi Yale Lanu Hashamaima. Chever, what do you see? Mi starts with a Mem, Yud starts with a Yud, Lamed, Hey. The Balaturim explains, Shaharashe Tevos Hu Mila. Mi Yale Lanu Hashamaima. When the Torah says, who can take us to the heights of heavens? When the Torah is saying, you know, the Torah is lo b'shamayim hi, it's not on the other side of the ocean. And the Torah says, mi yalalanu b'shamayimah, who can help us reach the heights of heavens? You know what the answer is? It's in the pasuk itself. Mi yalalanu b'shamayimah mila. In accordance with Kedushas HaBris, it's the yesod of my life. It's a yesod also in the sense that it's the first mitzvah you ever did. You were an 8-day-old baby, assuming you had your bris bizman. If you didn't, I imagine you had it shortly thereafter. Right? It's a mitzvah that's so holy that we can even perform it on Shabbos. I was born on Shabbos. I had my bris milah on Shabbos. Right? Docha milah is docha Shabbos. It's the root of such holiness. And it's the foundation of your life. And again, that doesn't mean that a person has to, you know, shouldn't spend their whole life obsessing over this. There's a healthy way to just, you know, to work on Inyanei Kedusha without being obsessed with Inyanei, you know, bris milah. Because again, talking about it too much could also have a damaging effect. But to be able to say that Hashem gave me, you know, Hashem gave me a desire, sexual desires, and that's normal and that's healthy, and learning how to channel that desire and need and want to connect, to be able to channel it in a holy way, to become a malach who reaches Shemayim, is what it's all about. By sanctifying this midah, efshar la'alos ha-shamayim, a person can reach the heights of heaven, uva yalu shamayim, and in this way a person can ascend to great heights, uva gam kem yardu tohomos, or God forbid, a person could be yored tohomos, could fall to the depths. Okay? So, chaver, that's the challenge, and that's the opportunity that it comes our way when we talk about Inyanei Kedusha. And that's really, again, what these days of Shovavim are about. Trying to, as Klal Yisrael historically went through a Mitzrayim, which is called in the Torah, it's called in Tanakh, it's called Ervas Haaretz, a place of Arayos, a place of immorality. And Klal Yisrael somehow clawed their way out of there. Hashem helped us, obviously tremendously, but it starts with a Ratzon, it starts with a desire to want to rise above that and to get out of that, you know, to get out of that mess and to live above that that impurity of the world. When a person strives to do that, a person can reach mamish, the heights of heavens, can reach unbelievable heights. Okay? Now, chaver, let's just do another 2 minutes. Mamish, 2 more minutes. Okay, I want to just start the next paragraph, which again is very poetic, but I want you to have this image. Let's end with this picture that he paints for us. It's such a powerful picture. Again, the words are a little hard, so just look inside for a second and let's see it together. We just said, Mi yale lanu ha-shamayim. We're trying to reach the heights of heavens. We're trying to climb. We're trying to lift ourselves up a little bit above the world. With this in mind, we could talk about one more pasuk about climbing great heights. Look at this pasuk. Mi ya'ale bahar Hashem, umi yakum bimkom kacho. Hopefully you recognize the pasuk. We say it often in conjunction with taking out the Sefer Torah, putting away the Sefer Torah. Mi ya'ale har Hashem, who can ascend the mountain of God, umi yakum bimkom kacho, and who could stand in a place of holiness? Look what he describes here. And again, try to picture this in your mind. Kinyan HaKedusha, acquiring holiness, Mashul LaHa'apala El Piskas HaHar HaGavoa Ba'olam. It is analogous to what? Ha'apala, to mountaineering. Dov, did you ever climb a mountain? You do a little bit of hiking, okay? Maybe you and Leo were in Camp Stone one summer, you know, you did a little adventuring. Yeah, you were climbing a mountain. So picture the biggest mountain. Yeah. Picture a person. What's it called? What's that thing called? What do they call that? What's it called? Where you climb without ropes? Free solo? Free solo, it's called? What's it called?
Free climbing.
Yeah, free climbing, right? Yeah, so you're climbing that. So imagine a person who's trying to, you know, to climb Mount Everest. He's climbing a massive mountain, and he's climbing a particularly treacherous part of that mountain. Right? Hapala means mountaineering. He's mountaineering. He's climbing to the Pisgat Tahar. He's trying to reach the peak of the mountain, the tallest mountain in the world. And imagine, Asher bimromav mishtolos ruchos chazakos visufos shalagim. And imagine he's not just climbing on a beautiful spring day. Imagine he's climbing in a place where there are raging winds and stormy snow, right? A frozen, slippery mountaintop. V'rabim yinasu kochem lahapi lepiskato. And many have tried to reach the top of the mountain. Ach eina matzlichem, but they haven't been successful. Kichol shemisamtzim lalos, to whatever degree they're working, they're striving to climb, haruchos vahasufos yidchfu osam shuv lamata. They keep slipping down the mountain. The strong winds, the stormy winds, keep knocking them down to the bottom. Rak gibore koach miuchadim, only uniquely strong individuals, zoichem lalos lepiska sahar. Only a few people typically could call themselves, you know, members of that club that made it to the top of the mountain. Veim zochem lepras olami, to win a world prize, to be in that short list of individuals who somehow survived that dangerous climb. Giborim halalu, says the Nesiv HaShalom, Giborim halalu, heim anashim shalo nirtaim mishum davar. And you know who those people are, and you know how it relates to us? They're individuals who are not nirtaim, who don't recoil from anything in the world, who no matter how many times they've slipped back down to the bottom of the mountain, they decide that they're going to set their sights on making it to the top of the mountain. Ikviim b'matarasam, that they're consistent in their matara, in their goal. They're totally focused on their goal. I have to get to the top of the mountain. I want to be a Jew who stands on the top of the mountain. V'lo noashim gam acharei nisyonos rabim. And they don't, noashim, you see the word yayush, they don't despair after many, many setbacks. Sha'alu, that they ascended. Vinasogu, and then they retreated, kama v'kama pa'amim, up and down and up and down the mountain. Umilvad kochos gufniim, yesh lahem be'ikar kochos nafshim kabirim. They don't just have to have physical strength, you have to have unbelievable what? Nafshim, kochos nafshim, spiritual strength, emotional strength, to believe that it's possible to make it to the top of the mountain. To believe, reishis amuna b'kocham, to believe in their own strength. To not be afraid to keep trying to climb to the top of the mountain. And secondly, skipping two lines, Vishenis, Hachlato Nechusha, this decisiveness, Udvekis B'masima, clinging to that mission statement of I want to be a Jew who makes it to the top of the mountain. And even if Sheva Yipol, even if I fall down time and time again, come, I pick myself back up. I stand back up and I try again, and I try again, and I try again. So Cheva, that image of being mountain climbers that the Nesiv HaShalom paints for us here, such a powerful image. It reminds me, and I'll end with this, it reminds me of another Slonimer image. One of the Slonimer Tzadikim painted a mushal of life during the 6 days of the week in Shabbos. Actually, a number of years ago, we spent the summer in Israel, and I mentioned this mushal in a shir. And there was a young woman in the shir who was a very talented artist. She painted me a picture of this image, which we have hanging in our dining room. Hopefully I'll be able to show it to you one day. It's such a powerful image. Picture a person, he's traveling in the forest. And he's lost in the forest. And it's snowing, and it's freezing. And his clothing is soaked, and he's hungry, and he's exhausted. And then finally, he comes to a clearing in the forest, and he sees a little inn, he sees a little house. And he looks through the window, and he sees there's a fire burning inside, and there's food on the table. And he knocks on the door, and the person invites him in. And he changes his clothing, and he warms up by the fire, and he gives him something good to eat. And he totally revives his spirit, revives his body, revives his spirit. And then the fellow, you know, he's not going to stay there the rest of his life, but he sets back out on the road, and he continues to push ahead through the forest. One of the early Slonimer Rebbes said, that's a mashal of the 6 days of the week in Shabbos. The 6 days of the week we're just like pushing along, you know, we're just trying to find our way. We push and we push and we push. And by the end of the week, we're ready to collapse. And we come to that beautiful, that beautiful warm inn called Shabbos. We change our clothing for Shabbos. We have some nice food. We warm up by the Shabbos candle, so to speak. And then we get new strength. We gather new strength to go back to the world, to be able to go weiter. So that image also is what we're, you know, when we're climbing this mountain of Kedusha, which at first seems like an impossible mountain. I'll never make it to the top of the mountain. But again, Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh means that every one of us can make it to the top of the mountain. The main thing is to believe that we can make it to the top of the mountain and to set our sights on having that, you know, emotional strength, to not be frustrated by all the setbacks that often occur when it comes to Inyanei Kedusha. Okay, so Chavar, so this is the introduction to the Maimer that will actually begin tomorrow, the first Maimer in his section on Kedushim to you. Any questions, comments, closing thoughts before? Yeah, David Lifshitz, welcome back to the Shir. We missed you.
Thank you. I don't know if this means anything.
Let's hear.
The Goyishu Tzadik Be'emuna Ato Yichya plus Talis.
Plus Talis, okay. Let's hear. What do you want to say? I'm not sure where you pulled that gematria out of, but what do you want to say? Tzadik Be'emunaso Yichya plus Atalis. Well, Atalis is part of the reason that Atalis, you know, surrounds us, and one of the reasons that people start to wear a talis often when they get married, right, is because marriage sometimes provides for a person that shmira, that protection, sort of that force field around the person. But how do you want to say it? Let's hear.
Well, I was thinking that like the two statements are related because it's kind of like an Ava Yira ish balance. So I was thinking maybe like the talis is kind of like bringing the Ava into the Yira.
Could be. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. He has a lot here. You know, we're not going to get to everything. I want to just try to do at least one mimer together. But he has a couple of pieces here. One piece is on Kedoshim to you in a defense type of way, Sor Meira, avoiding negativity. But it's very, very important, Chavra, and maybe we'll focus on that piece also, to focus on Kedusha in the form of Ase Tov. Again, it's not all about defense. People sometimes think Kedusha is all defense. Kedusha is the things I don't do, the things I shouldn't see, right? The things I shouldn't be connected to. It's also about, like Yehuda was saying before, filling my life with the things I should be connected to, not leaving that gaping hole in my life, that void, where unfortunately if I don't fill my life with, again, with quality stuff, so then I get filled with other things. So, you know, there is an Ava and a Yira aspect to Inyanei Kedusha. It's not just avoiding unholy things and negativity, but it's attaching myself, and it's loving the right things. It's falling in love and being dovuk to the right things, clinging to the right things. Okay?